Recovery 101. Guaranteed so much fun. From the Tombstone Studio, two gals and a crazy bro. Listen, download, and play again. Share the show with all your friends. No need to be feeling blue. The mandate here is Rule 62. Laugh along with the boozy news. The news that's not fit for booze. So come on and join the fun. From Tombstone, Arizona, ladies and gentlemen, it's Recovery 101.
Thank you to Monty for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AA, NA, OA, CA, GA, PA, SLA, SLA, ACRRR, MMDRA, HAFA, the NFL, the CIA, the FBI, the KFC, the NASCAR,
the IMDb,
the Internet Movie Database. We don't speak well at all. But welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B. As always, with
Shelley
and Tara.
Sweet
dude.
So, what's shaking, Shelley?
I have a car.
A new car.
I survived the hell that is the dealership. I signed my soul over to Satan. I was extremely uncomfortable the entire time, and I'm just grateful it's over, and I will never set foot on a car lot again.
Are you happy with the car you got?
Yes.
What's your favorite thing about it?
It goes.
You know what was funny? The guy's like, okay, let's see what kind of car we want to get you. So he's filling out this thing, right? He goes, what are your needs for a car? And Shelly's two things she put was Bluetooth and not beige.
I don't care. I just, if it goes, it goes.
I'm like, that's not a deep stretch. Not beige with Bluetooth. I'm like, yeah, that covers most of this lot right here. So.
I'm easy. What can I say?
Oh, ho, ho, ho.
I set you up for that one.
Yeah. No, you did. You did. So let's see. Well, by the time this goes up, it'll all be over. There will either have been a big blue wave or a big red wave, but Shelly needed to vote. Tara already voted this morning. She went real early in the morning,
and then
because
came
she
here.
Thought it'd be packed.
I really did. I mean, I live in a small town full of a bunch of old people, so I figured it'd be a bunch of early risers, man. You know, like everybody's waking up at 4 a.m. They'll be there as soon as the polls open. Go on about your day. Take a nap around 10 a.m.
You know what it is? The people get up at 4 a.m., those are the people that, like, work on the ranches, and they're, like, out doing ranch stuff. They're
yeah,
like,
busy
yeah,
feeding
I'll,
horses
I'll go and
still.
Vote, like, 3 in the afternoon
yeah.
when my day is over. The day is over at 3 in the afternoon. Well...
How hard is it to drive a manual?
Is it drive what?
A manual. It's not hard. I can teach you. Okay. That's a skill that I need to learn.
You've never driven a manual transmission?
I've just never had to.
It's not as common anymore to have manuals,
you know, so.
One of my favorite memes is the one that says, we could cripple an entire generation by switching to manual transmission and only writing a cursive.
It's so true. I mean, I do know how to Absolutely. Write very well in cursive. My kids do not. You put down, like, there's a signature line that they have to sign on some of their, like, beginning of the school year paperwork. They just write in print again. I'm like, oh, God.
I've printed my signature since I was a kid because of my artwork. So huh. I always sign my artwork with printing. And I remember the bank just flipping me shit. The bank's like... No, you need to
That's
sign.
Not
I'm like,
right.
this is my
I
signature.
Did. Yeah.
This is how I sign all my artwork. And they're like, all right. Well, you know what that means. Oh, it's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze.
Do, 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 do,
No, it was better, sorry. But...
Sorry, Shelly.
All right, so we've got shout-outs to Deborah G., Stephen, Dakota, Dan, Stryker, Alexandra, Jane, Lynn, Lori, Faith, Sally, Natalie, John, Carol, Georgette, Corrine, Bill, Fran, James, Johnny, Alan, Damon, Lee, Roger, Randy, David, Shredder, Terry, Rhonda, William, Greg, Mark, Fausto, Brenda, Mike, Antoana, Ken, Clint, Megan, Bill K., Joe B., Las Encinas Hospital, Impact House, Jeremy and Tara, and Marty and Dorothy.
Oh, Bruce. You skipped right over Jack.
And Jack. It's a big Jack attack. So the first one's from Damon, Kansas City. Shelly, don't be reading that story. I see you reading that story over my shoulder. Okay, so Kansas City.
Kansas City, here I come.
This guy's was in trouble because he had both drugs and guns. But he was able to force the police detective to cut short the interrogation.
Why?
Because of use of his extreme flatulence.
Wait a minute. He farted his way out of a police charge, out of a criminal charge?
Not out of the charge, out of the questioning. Because apparently he had so much gas that the cop was like, no.
Man, that's Jeremy, I swear.
Yeah, it was, when he asked for his address by the cop, he leaned to one side of his chair and released a loud fart before answering. He continued to be flatulent, and the detective was forced to quickly end the interview.
Yeah, man. Yes.
Hey, you know, you have to use all of the assets at your disposal.
Yeah, you know, I can't really fault farts, him. No big deal.
Emphasis on assets. There he will be sentenced at a later date, but the pre-sentence report is incomplete. This is from Fantasy. Can you live this fantasy life? So, you are a chef.
Yes.
And Shelly, you are familiar with British stuff.
Oh, yes.
So, I need some help on some of this. First of all, what the frick is a toastie?
A toast, it's like a Pop-Tart. Well, it doesn't have to be a Pop-Tart.
Like as a toaster strudel?
As far as I know, they're kind of like pasties, like there's meat filling pie filling in them. It depends on what it is, I think.
Okay, well, Frankie's Toasties opened in Manchester. Well, it's probably opened in Manchester now, but it says opens. But they're going to have 32 different kinds of toasties, which sounds like a gracious plenty of variety.
Was I right? Is that what they are?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So it says everybody lives a good old toasty. Now, it's funny because it talks about many places that already serve toasties started selling fancy ones with expensive ingredients like avocado, which in the U.S., avocado not tremendously
not
expensive.
Fancy or expensive.
Yeah. But, you know, like they say, can't beat the classics. And I'm going to ask both of you what this is. Okay. You know, cheese, ham, Marmite.
Oh, no. I'm thinking like Vegemite.
You're thinking of Vegemite. Marmite is a meat filling, I think.
Well, ham is a meat filling. Well, anyway. So
it's like mincemeat, I think. I mean, I have to look it up. Because I'm pretty sure that Marmite is like mincemeat. But I'm going to check.
Well, it's like classics like cheese, ham, Marmite, pickle, maybe beans if you're feeling extravagant, although they'll definitely drip on you.
That sounds gross.
But if you're looking for some toasty inspiration that's a little out of the ordinary, comes Frankie's. So let's see. This has invented some bizarre new creations, including instant noodle toasty, melted Mars bar toasty, berry chewy. Okay, something's weird about that. Berry Chewy.
He is Berry Chewy.
Berry Chewy, owner of Frankie's Toasties, came up with the idea. And he says that everyone loves Toasties, toasted sandwiches. This is a quote. It's a bit of a random idea, but I was at home one night, and I had not in the refrigerator, so I made a Toastie. And when I was eating, I thought, everybody loves Toasties.
What, Shelly, so is Marmite like some sort of marsupial or something?
I was totally wrong. Marmite is sort of like the Australian Vegemite, but it's only made from yeast extract.
Ew.
It's Marmite is actually created out of a byproduct of beer brewing.
Oh.
Oh, that's not where I was going at all when you said it was a yeast product.
Bah.
So, man. So, there are 32 possible fillings.
They're slacking. So they are no Baskin Robbins.
So, as a chef, this one has katsu curry, Thai curry, apple, and custard with hot dog and Nutella.
All in the same one?
Yes.
Ew.
It sounds disgusting, right?
That is a horrible concoction.
There's also the Salford Super Noodle
the hell
Buddy.
What kind of stoner food are they trying
to
make?
A Bonkers Buddy, Butty, B-U-T-T-I-E, made with chicken-flavored instant noodles toasted between two slices of bread. In an Instagram
post,
too much
carbohydrates.
For those of you who would like to add calcium, you can also add cheese. Cheese and super ramen noodles. So, there you go. That's
stoner food.
That's what's going on there.
You must have been drunk.
Okay, so this is a big one right here. This is what I think. So, I'm not saying it was aliens.
But it was aliens.
But it was aliens. So, this is the former manager of the Department of Defense Aerospace Threat Program who says UFOs are real. So, this isn't just like one guy. So, there's this organization that has a number of really, really famous high-level people, like including 25-year veteran of the CIA Directorate of Operations, a Lockheed Martin program director for the advanced systems at Skunk Works. Those are the guys that came up with like the radar non-detectable planes and all that.
I know that we have no opinion on outside issues, but like this whole show is based on our opinions of outside issues.
Yeah.
So, man, aliens are freaking real. Anybody that thinks that we are the only people in the whole universe is like,
you
really?
Mean like Shelly?
Are you serious? You're way too intelligent for that, man.
I'm not saying. I mean, if you go based on the Drake equation, I'm not saying that they're aren't other intelligent species.
Oh, okay.
I am arguing the fact that they come here because we are actually on the outer fringes of our galaxy. So there would be, first of all, we're,
well, they could like, be highly advanced.
It would be like somebody going, like one of us going all the way to Phoenix for a pack of gum.
I went to Phoenix to speak the other night.
Nobody would drive 3 hours to Phoenix to get a pack of gum, right?
Maybe an alien
Listen,
would fly
Shelly,
here to
if
speak.
If they're going at light speed, I mean, you
but
know.
Light speed is only 186,000 miles per second.
I'm just
That's
saying.
A lot of miles per second. You know what? That's like
saying.
A 1/1,000th of a second to get to Phoenix to get gum.
But the nearest star
not
to
in the
us,
space of the universe, yeah.
The nearest
not in
star
relation
to
the size of the universe.
Is to, the nearest star to us, I
it's
think,
not that
is,
fast.
I think it's Deneb, but I could be wrong. And that's 4 light years, which is the amount of distance light will travel in 1 year. And that's the closest right. one. The next closest one is 16 light years. And after that, you're talking like hundreds and or thousands and millions.
I got one word for you. Wormhole. Even Einstein said that was possible.
Possible, but we have not successfully recreated it.
We haven't.
We haven't, exactly.
But I don't, I'm just saying, we are like,
we're
we are
a relatively
so far out.
New civilization.
Okay.
So
back to the story. So this isn't, because you know, the former The guy from the Department of Defense that you see in a bunch of those UFO shows, he's this British guy. He was with the British Department of Defense, and he's been talking about it for a long time. We did a story a year or so or 2 years ago where the head of the Department of Defense of Canada is like, why is nobody talking about this? We know that the Soviets have downed craft. We know that the U.S. have downed craft. Why is no one talking about this? And so now, well, Shelley's thing is that all these people are having, what was it, paranoid delusions all at the same time? Mass delusions. But now, so this is a guy.
Oh, Shelley. Shelley's been drinking the Kool-Aid.
25-year veteran of the CIA, director of operations, a Lockheed Martin program director for advanced systems at Skunk Works, and a former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Intelligence. So anyway, they're talking about, and
I'm just saying that these people with like
Bruce,
extra secret security clearance.
I did burp into the mic.
Say that it's real, and we're members of the public. So if he's saying it's real, then it's probably freaking real.
But who's to say? Give me that. But who's to say that they're not just saying that to distractions? People in high places want to create distractions for the public so that we don't actually look at what they're really doing.
Oh, I absolutely 100,000% agree with that. Like really, 1,000,000% agree with that. But the thing is, they want to distract us with popular culture. You know, they're not trying to distract, you know, they want to distract us like, you know, with the gladiators, with football, and with like pop stars and stuff like that. I don't think that they're trying to.
Bruce is totally distracted.
I think that the aliens are one of the things that they've been trying to distract us from.
I don't think so. I think that if there were actually. Okay, here's the thing about conspiracies. Two people is a secret. Three people is a conspiracy. Four people is the evening news. So if that many people know about these aliens, we would all know, like, actual scientific data. There would be hard facts at our disposal.
But it's been on the news.
That is not the news.
Well, wait, let me...
They're flashy thinging people.
Hey, wait. let me ask you a question.
Yeah, like the Men in Black.
Shelley, let me ask you a question.
What?
Stealth technology. Yeah. Up until the moment they released it, nobody knew it existed. Up until the moment the government said, hey, check out our new stealth bomber.
That's why it's B-1 secret bomber. Security clearance.
Right. Look.
Duh.
Look, we've got a B-1 bomber. Do you know how long they had the B-1 bomber before anyone else knew about it? Or no,
tell
not
us,
the
Bruce.
B-1 bomber. F-117 stealth fighter and all that. Nobody knew it existed, even though we'd been using it for like 15 years. Because they just didn't release it. So anyway,
and that's our show.
Yeah, that's our time. Thanks
so much. So let's see. That might have been. This is. I guess we do. Okay. So. This is, Damon sent this, fake it till you make it. This is a really, really effing sad story.
Oh, man, we can't do more sad dudes. The dudes were so sad.
So for most parents, the thought of their child being diagnosed with cancer is heartbreaking and terrifying.
Oh, hell no.
This mom wanted to get some donations. So
oh, no,
said
she
her
didn't.
Kid had cancer. Told the kid she had cancer. Shaved her head, and she had looked up something online, like WebMD. We were talking about that earlier. Because she had a stomach ache. And she looked it up online, and she told her kid that she had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma and started soliciting donations for treatment. This is from 2016. She let her think this for 2 years that she had this. And she was involved. The girl was involved in doing all this cancer help, you know, help people with cancer and all this. And so it was finally uncovered when the husband, because the husband thought she had cancer too, because the wife just said she did. the husband took the daughter to a doctor who ran some tests that the mother wasn't aware he was taking her to, because the dad's like, for a kid that's sick with Hodgkin's, you know, she seems pretty good. You know, like she's not tired. She's not this. She's not that. So you ran some tests, told him your daughter's not sick at all. The doctor called Department of Homeland Security, who called the police, and she got arrested.
Why did he call Homeland Security?
I don't know.
I want to know why he called Homeland Security and just instead of just calling a fraud squad.
I don't know. But she's being held on $10,000 bail and faces charges of child abuse in a medical setting and other things related to fraud. So there
that
you
is
go.
Horrible.
Right? Right? Okay. So that, my friends, is the end of the boozy news and the news not fit for booze.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
We're back. We have a topic. You see, this one microphone thing is going to be difficult because you're going to make a comment not into a mic.
Exactly.
Shit. So, we have a topic, shall you?
The fifth step? Is that what we're doing?
Step five, bitches!
Yes, admit it to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs.
I just realized something when I said step five, bitches.
Yeah, you better watch that, Bruce.
I'm like, hey. Hey, that kind of fits. So.
You're so funny.
How did you do your step five, Tara?
I went to my sponsor's, which one? So for the most recent one, I sat down after a meeting with my sponsor in Ohio and laid everything out. We went over my fourth step, and I told her some other stuff that had happened, some things that I needed to get off my chest. And we went over my six-step list. Like, I basically created my six-step list with my character defects for my fourth step. And we pointed out some other ones that weren't, like, as readily apparent. And then we also created my assets list from that. That way I was all set up to do six and seven. But, I mean, basically it was just, you know, going over my fourth step and getting anything off my chest that I really, really needed to talk about. Now, whenever I did my first fifth step, I kind of like told my life story to a certain extent, and just talked about like all the bad stuff that I had done and everything that I felt like I needed to confess to somebody. It was like Catholic confessional time, you know, and I told all the dirty stuff.
I love in the big book where it says that you may want to do your fifth step with someone who's set up to hear confession. I'm thinking, yeah. Can you imagine? Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. And then just going through like 45 pages of
right.
shit. At the end, the guy's like, God, I don't think Hail Marys are going to cover that.
Yeah.
Guy's like, okay, you're going to have to put $680,000 in the basket next week.
I mean, and, like, I've done some.
And you're going to get some mea culpa, because I'm calling Mother Superior in here with a big old flat ruler who's going to beat the shit out of you.
Like, I mean, I wonder how many Hail Marys I would have had to say and how many Our Fathers I would have had to say, like, if I had actually gone to confession.
Oh my God.
Or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, what about the time that I drove on ecstasy at 2 a.m. with my daughter in the car? Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, you know, I really did some bad stuff. So that's what drugs and alcohol did to me.
And you got nothing on Shelly.
Oh, man.
Gosh, Shelly used to drive loaded all the time, and she did all kinds of drugs. And
no, she didn't.
I never did. I was afraid I'd get arrested.
She was a homebody. Well, that's why I never had a DUI.
I'd fall asleep in Shelly's inventory.
That was like
I drank alone.
One of maybe three times that I ever drove on anything.
Because you know when I drink alone, I prefer to be by myself.
That's what alone is.
So, Shelly.
What?
Tell us about your first inventory. You're doing your...
Well, I did it wrong.
What does that even mean?
Bitches. Well, I wrote out the
first
time.
And why is everything bitches today?
It's just, I've been doing it for months and months and months
now.
Really? Because I started talking to the dogs like that.
Yeah, calling them
say,
bitches.
Hey, good morning, bitches. Time to go outside, bitches. And now everything in my life is, you know.
Bitches.
Yes. The first inventory I did was with my geographically undesirable sponsor, and I drove down to Orange County to do this inventory with her, and then I left off a couple of the most important things that I had hovering over my head for years and years that were, I've often told people that there's a line in a Robert Service poem, and it goes, the thought came back of an ancient wrong, and it stung like a frozen lash. And that's that whiplash feeling when you've done something that you can't get over the fact that you did it. And I had some things on my inventory like that, that I was, people will hate me. I can't admit this. So I left those off. And then she told me my amends were to drive up to the top of Haven and find a nice patch of Mother Earth and put my hands on the earth and commune with nature so that I can become one again. Didn't talk to me about anything about having to do with making amends to actual people. She was a little bit cracked. She also was the one who made me copy out the 12 and 12 backwards with my left hand into a notebook. And that shows you how desperate I was, because I did it. I sat down at Starbucks one night with a notebook, and I was writing them out backwards with my left hand, trying to keep it legible.
This isn't the same oatmeal sponsor, is it?
No.
Okay.
No.
Man, I was going to say.
That was my first one. And obviously, I left a couple of things off of that. And as a result, I drank again. I had my whole bottle of vodka, the 1 ounce airline bottle.
Yeah.
And then I threw it up. And so I couldn't drink and I could not drink. So then I got my second sponsor.
That shouldn't even count.
I did it wrong.
I mean, you did drink it.
But yeah.
I mean,
it counts.
Is it like if you put it in your mouth or is it if you swallow
it's
the alcohol?
It's intent. I was
intending
to. You had
the intent to get drunk.
Well,
what if I drive around all night looking for cocaine and I intend to get loaded, but then I can't freaking find any? Well, so did I relapse or did I not?
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Oh, okay.
So,
just checking.
So, wait.
Intent with follow-through.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I had to jump out to go to the restroom for a minute.
Yeah.
I come in. The first thing I hear out of Tara's mouth is, if I have it in my mouth and I don't swallow. And I'm like, and we're talking about inventory, so, you know, I don't know what exactly
Shelly's
is going
airline
on here.
Bottle.
Yeah. So
we're
anyway.
Talking about Shelly's airline bottle.
And of course, I put ice in my mouth right then. But the second inventory, I did it wrong too, because what I did was I realized I needed a thorough house cleaning, so I did write everything down. Pages and pages and pages and pages. I got everything down on paper, and then I balked at doing my fifth step. I balked at actually dropping it.
Wow.
And I kept putting her off and putting her off and putting her off. And I think at first she probably thought it sounded pretty good because I would say things like, well, I'm working late today, or well, I'm taking the kids somewhere, blah, blah, blah. But then came the day when it was making me physically ill. Like I was getting blinding headaches and I couldn't see. And Bruce actually had to take me to urgent care a couple of times because my head was hurting so much and I was getting nauseated and sick and feverish, and it was literally making me physically ill. Finally, my sponsor said, okay, that's it. You're done. We're not sitting around anymore. And she had a couple of ladies. She had Rhonda and Margaret pick me up and babysit me for the rest of the day. And then the next morning she picked me up and we just did my fifth step. And the amazing thing was, pretty much within a few minutes of being done with it, you know, we sat there for several hours doing this, but pretty much within a few minutes of being done with it, my headaches completely cleared up and went away and I was fine physically. So when I say I did it wrong, don't sit on it. Once you've written it, dump it immediately, because that kind of toxic crap will back up in your system and you will get sick.
Okay. So when I did my fifth step, my sponsor took me down to Venice Beach, right on
Very
the beach.
Very cool.
And we're sitting at a park bench. And the idea is when I'm done doing my fifth step, we're going to discuss it a little. Then we're going to set the fifth step on fire like in one of the fire pits. Then we're going to take the ashes down to the water, cast them on the water, and watch the ashes take my old life away. So I'm reading it to him, and, you know, this is my horrible life experience, and he's literally falling asleep during it because apparently it's not so exciting. And we get about halfway through, and I look over, and there's this black guy on roller skates sitting at the end of the table, and this guy is enthralled. He's like, oh, my God. And I'm looking at my sponsor. I'm like, there's a guy here listening. And my sponsor looks at me and goes, do you know him? And I go, no. And he goes, well, then keep reading. So I keep reading. The guy sits there, listens to my entire inventory. We get up. We're going to set this thing on fire. And the wind really picks up. And we can't get any of the lighters to stay lit. The guy on the roller skates is coming in with the Zippo, and that won't stay lit, and just nothing's staying lit. We can't get this thing to catch on fire. My sponsor keeps looking at me. He's like, are you sure you wrote everything? Are you sure you wrote everything? I'm like, yes. So the wind's whipped up. It's at the beach. It's like the way it is in the late afternoon when it gets really windy. So we end up taking the inventory back to his house, putting it on his barbecue grill, torching it, and then flushing the ashes down the toilet, which is not nearly as spiritual as I had hoped for. But that's the way that went. And you know what? The best thing that everyone ever told me is, and I might have said this a couple shows ago, but we're like a bad cup of coffee when we first come to program. We're like a cup of coffee that's been sitting out on the counter and it's got creamer and stuff in it, so it's like starting to get moldy. I mean, it's been out for like a week. And we go to meetings and we pour good coffee in, but it mixes with the bad coffee and we never really get good coffee. But when you do your fifth step, you're dumping out the cup of bad coffee, and now when you go to meetings, you fill it all up with good coffee.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, Tara, what would your final words be on the fifth step? And, Shelly, you better get ready.
I guess my final words are don't leave anything out. If you know that there's something nagging at the back of your mind, then get it out. And if you're like me, and you're not sure if there's anything left, then just trust me that, you know, as long as you really, really don't remember anything else, more will be revealed and you can deal with that stuff later on. What about you, Shelly?
Well, I'm messing around with oils over there in the kitchen.
What kind of oils?
Basil, clove.
Yeah, there's clove,
all right. Yeah, oh my gosh, it's so strong. I would say that when it comes to the fifth step, it's like taking out really disgusting trash that's been sitting in your house for a long time. Get it out fast, dump it in the can, and get rid of it.
My final words would be, you know what? You don't want to be a bad cup of coffee anymore. So dump out that coffee, pour in good coffee. It'll all be good. It's not nearly as stressful as you make it out to be. Try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
And take care of you.
And if you do things you always did, you'll get things you always got?
No, that's not what she says.
If you always do what?
If you keep doing what you've always done, you'll continue to get what you've always had.
Sweet!
One more hit is all I need. One more. time you see me bleed. Just another lost soul without a clue. Been on my knees so many times.